Hello. Welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Today we're going to be talking about the better covenant. As Christians, we understand that the entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is inspired or God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness," right relationship with God. The word inspiration literally means breathed. In other words, we can say that all scripture is God-breathed. We also know that two parts of the Bible represent two separate covenants. The word testament, as in Old Testament and New Testament, is from the Greek word diatheke, which means covenant. A covenant is an agreement or contract. A theological covenant is an agreement between God and mankind. Therefore, the Bible represents two covenants. The Old Covenant was a covenant between God and the Hebrews. The New Covenant is a covenant between God and the followers of Jesus. Christians, I'm talking about, followers of Jesus. Every theological covenant has a mediator. The dictionary defines a mediator as one who attempts to bring people involved in a conflict into an agreement, serving as a go-between, if you will. In the Old Covenant, Moses was the mediator. That's why the covenant was often called the Law of Moses. In the New Covenant, the mediator is Jesus, who gave his life willingly to save us from sin and gave us eternal life. Now notice that I said Jesus gave his life. That giving of his life is why the New Covenant is called the Covenant of Grace. Let's go back to the dictionary again. Grace is defined, as in Christian belief, the free and unmerited favor of God, as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Put another way, Jesus giving his life for us is the very definition of what grace is. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You can't earn it, you can't work for it, you don't deserve it, but it's given to us as a gift. Now here's a crucial point. You can't have two mediators. Too many Christians are trying to live under the law and under grace. Grace and law are mutually exclusive. What that means is that it must be one or the other. It can't be both. Look at what the Apostle John said in John 1:17. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And then the Apostle Paul says in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Let me just take a quick break here to just remind you that there are literally hundreds of free helps, videos, audios available on my website, and absolutely free. And I just encourage you, if you haven't already, to take a look at them and see if they can help you in your walk with the Lord. Again, the website is PastorVic.com or PastorVicsNuggets.com. Okay, let's get back to the message. Now, faith is the key to both the Old and the New Covenants. One thing that is in common with both of them is that faith is the glue that holds a covenant together. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Faith is what God seeks in both the Old and the New Covenant. In the Old Testament, we see God's appraisal of Abraham. In Genesis 15, beginning in verse 5, Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now towards heaven," speaking to Abraham, "and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Now here's the important verse, verse 6. "And Abraham believed," he had faith in the Lord, "and he counted to him for righteousness, being in a right relationship with God. Then the Apostle Paul says in Romans 4:20, speaking about, again, Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, that's faith, that what he had promised, meaning God, he was also able to perform. And then verse 22 says, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Righteousness means to be in a right relationship with the Lord. Salvation in both the Old and New Covenant was and is by faith. In the Old Testament, people were not saved by the law, but by believing that the law was from God and trusting in the lawgiver who was God. In the New Testament, we are saved by trusting in Jesus, who is God, for our salvation alone. Now let me say again, why are Christians not under the law? Because Jesus fulfilled the law. Let me say that again. Jesus fulfilled the law, therefore we are no longer under the law. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot, one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Well, Jesus fulfilled the law. The promises of God in the Old Covenant are still in effect. However, the law of Moses has become obsolete. Hebrews 8:13 says, in that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. That's the old. Now, let's take a look at how Jesus fulfilled the law. That's an important concept to get. First of all, through perfect obedience. Jesus lived a life of perfect harmony and righteousness, displaying the moral standards, if you will, required by the law in a way that no person could. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And 1 Peter 2:22 says, he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. The second thing we look at is that Jesus fulfilled the law because he fulfilled all the prophecies. There are between 300 and 400 prophecies in the Old Testament describing the life and the ministry of the Messiah, the coming Messiah. Jesus is that Messiah. Matthew 5:17 says, do not think, again, I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Another aspect of Jesus fulfilling the law is the atoning sacrifice. See, through his death on the cross of Calvary, Jesus satisfied the righteous requirements of the law, paying the penalty for human sin and making reconciliation with God possible. Remember, in the Old Covenant, sacrifices were continually made over and over and over again, made to cover sin. However, in the New Covenant, Jesus, once and for all, made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's that transfer. And then in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The great exchange. Now, also Jesus fulfilled the law, which means a new covenant was necessary. The sacrifice of Jesus required a new covenant, moving believers from a system of written rules to a new life under grace with the law of love written on their hearts. Jesus said in Luke 22, beginning in verse 20, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. That's the scriptures involving communion. And then in Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Another way Jesus fulfilled the law is that he fulfilled God's will perfectly. Jesus revealed the deep spiritual meaning of the law, teaching and demonstrating a more profound understanding of God's will, which involves transforming the heart, changing the heart. This transformation, which is by faith, and it's by faith in the work of the Holy Spirit, changes us from the inside out. We're transformed out of guilt, fear, and shame into a loving relationship with our Lord. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 37, says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." Romans 12, beginning in verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be, again, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, what does all of this mean for us as Christians? Well, one of the things that it means is that we are free from condemnation. Guilt and shame with breaking the law came under the Old Testament, but we are saved through grace. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." The second thing is that we're transformed by the Spirit. It's not just a human effort. As Christians, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. The spirit of the law is love. And our that transforming process changes the way we think, the words that we use, and the actions that we take. In Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning in verse 26, the scriptures say, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments, and you will do them." In 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed," we're being changed from the inside out, "into the same image, to be more and more like Jesus from glory to glory." Another aspect of this, the new covenant that Jesus brought in, is focusing on love instead of legalism. Instead of focusing on the righteousness of the law, our attention shifts to loving God and our neighbor. Jesus declared that to be the summary, the sum total of the entire law and the prophets. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." You see, Jesus fulfilling the law, and we are accepting its benefits. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament law by perfectly obeying its requirements, thereby becoming the ultimate sacrifice and atonement for sin. His life and death are seen as the fulfillment of the prophetic messages of the law, establishing a new covenant in its place. This fulfillment means that the law's requirements are now met through Christ's work, and believers are called to live by a transforming spirit of love. Love and grace, rather than strict obedience to the old covenant's regulations and rules. Jesus fulfilled the old covenant law and replaced it with a better covenant called the new covenant of grace. Now, these are not my words, but the words that are found in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews uses the word better about 12 times. Now, here are some of those points. Hebrews 7:22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Hebrews 8:6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Hebrews 12:24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Hebrews 8:13. In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. And then let me repeat again, Matthew 5:17. Do not think, Jesus said, that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. The book of Hebrews makes the case that the new covenant is superior. It's better than the old covenant. The book of Hebrews, remember, was written to many of the Jewish believers who had left Judaism and became Christians. Now, these new Jewish Christians wanted to mix some of the old covenant in with the new covenant because they wanted to avoid persecution by their own countrymen. Sadly, some are doing that even to this very day, trying to mix the old covenant of law with the new covenant of grace. The writer of Hebrews exhorts them to go on into perfection, Hebrews 6:1. His call is based on the superiority of Christ over the Judaic system. Christ is better than the angels, for the angels worship him. He is better than Moses, for he created Moses. He is better than the Aaronic priesthood, for his sacrifice was made once and for all time. He is better than the law. He mediates a better covenant. In short, there's more to be gained in Christ than to be lost in Judaism. I really encourage you to read Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10 for a comparison of the old versus the new covenant. But again, let me just remind you of some of the principles. Better promises. The old covenant promised blessings for obedience. The new covenant promises eternal life and forgiveness. Hebrews 8:6. Better sacrifice. The old covenant sacrifices had to be repeated. Christ's sacrifice was once and for all. Better access. Under the old covenant, only the high priest entered God's presence once a year. Under the new covenant, all believers have direct access through Jesus Christ. Better transformation. The old covenant regulated behavior externally from the outside. The new changes the heart inside. Transformation. The new covenant is permanent, whereas the old was temporary. Remember, the old was a shadow of what was to come. That's Colossians 2:16. The new is eternal and unshakable. The old covenant revealed sin, but could not remove it. The new covenant, established by Christ's blood, brings forgiveness, transformation, and an eternal relationship with God. It's superior because it fulfills the promises, providing lasting access to God, and it is built on grace and not on works. I hope this message helps you understand the Bible more clearly and realize that we as believers in Jesus Christ are not subjects to the law, but we are subject to the grace which Jesus Christ purchased on the cross of Calvary. Love is the evidence of that grace. And so, Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would just fill every person listening or watching with your transforming love. And Lord, we just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Look forward to seeing you the next time as we continue this discussion between the old and the new. God bless you. Unless otherwise noted, all scripture quotations are from the New King James Version of the Bible. Copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved.